Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Thursday, August the 27th. 2020, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WWGH Radio, and you are here for a great hour. Now, I'm going to get to that momentarily, but I do want to give you a quick programming note, a little housekeeping here, that tomorrow on this show, we are going to be joined by legendary DJ Cousin Brucey. Cousin Brucey recently left Sirius XM Radio and is returning to broadcast radio on Labor Day, WABC in New York. Cousin Brucey will be along tomorrow to let us know how that change occurred and what is going on. So Cousin Brucey tomorrow, always a great guest, and one of our regular guests, good friends. He was a friend of Johnny Carson. He was a friend of David Letterman. He's a great guy, legendary mentalist. The Amazing Kreskin is going to come on tomorrow because he's got a new book coming out, and also we don't know what's going on. He's going to announce it tonight, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow. But a political campaign event, and we don't know what that is. The Amazing Kreskin tomorrow on this show, as well as Cousin Brucey. A great way to round out this week. Now, we are in the middle of a pandemic. As you all know, this has been going on since March, and we also are getting ready to go back to school momentarily. A lot of the start dates were pushed back all over the country, and here as well in this state. Now, this is a touchstone for this reason. I have been friends with legendary Queen of Helpful Hints, Heloise, for many, many years. She was on this program once a month for the longest time. But, you know, things get busy, things happen, and we have not had Heloise on the program since July 17th, 2019. Somebody look that up for me this morning. Can you believe it's been over a year? How is that possible? July 17th, 2019. So when we needed advice, when it comes to the pandemic, when we needed advice on getting ready to go back to school and making that a positive experience, we go to an author, a columnist, the undisputed queen of helpful hints herself. What a pleasure it is to welcome back to these microphones the legendary Heloise. Heloise, how are you?
Well, I am much better. That was a beautiful introduction. And it's nice to be back on the air with friends you can trust.
I know. Can you believe it's
no,
been
I can't. 13
months? What happened, Heloise?
Oh, too much. Too much. You know, with every, and like everyone else with the COVID pandemic, you know, it's kind of, in Texas we say it's thrown a kink in the get along, and people are adjusting. People are adapting, and they're looking for good, solid, reliable information. And here I am.
And we are so glad you are here. And I have missed you in general. And I was saying to somebody the other day, I said, you know, Heloise would come on and we would talk about important things and we would give a lot of helpful hints. But we also had a lot of fun in that 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's part of... now, I'm not talking in the British Queen Victoria. We are not on mules. But she actually said that, by the way. She was quoted as saying, we are not on mules. But part of learning something new, or you're revitalizing, maybe you haven't done it in a long time. Now, here's a frightening fact. I went to Texas State University when I went there and graduated in 74. I was on the five-year plan. It was, I got my teacher's certificate. And in Texas, it's a lifetime certificate, so I could theoretically go back and teach. But one of the things I learned while I was doing my student teaching also was if you can make it fun, if you can make it interesting, if you can make the information somehow apply to the student, something they've experienced, maybe their grandfather or something, they tend to retain it more than if you just spout off a statistic. So for kids, really, and this is, you know, as Dick, I think it was Dickens who said, the best of times and the worst of times. We know the worst of times, and it's on the news all the time, and these poor children are just being bombarded. But try to let them know that you love them whenever you can, and we're going to learn something new, and we will all get through this.
Well, and it's very interesting because I look back at technological media like radio and television, and through horrible events like Watergate and the Korean War, and certainly 9/11 is in there, and the assassination of JFK. You know, they're horrific events. They scare people. They make people jittery. They upset them. But
we bounce back.
Right, and I think we do it sometimes through laughter.
Yes.
And I think we laugh, we can go along, we can give good information, but we don't have to be, it's, you know, since this whole thing started, it's been interesting because when I come on in the morning, you've got to talk about this whole pandemic.
You have to address, my father was an Air Force pilot, and my uncles were Army, Navy, and we actually had one Marine, a cousin. But you have to address the situation, okay? Everybody in the room is thinking about it. All of your listeners are thinking about it. So don't try to brush it under the rug. Address it in a factual matter. And also always try to present a little ray of hope, a little bit of sunshine, something funny. In my Sunday column that runs in the Sunday section, sometimes it's in the comic section of many newspapers, I started a feature called Just for Kids. And it was hints from them and hints for them, kid to kid, on their level, on their plane. And some of them were so charming. And one I remember, this, and he must have been like 8, 9, or 10, and they'd give us their first name and their age, no last names, and I say Marion, Ohio. And one of them, he was so cute, it said, Dear Heloise, I read your column in the Sunday Funnies, which is what the comic section is called many times, and I have a hint for other kids. My mom makes us eat liver once a month because she says it has iron in it and it's good for us. Period. But I don't like the taste of liver. So I go brush my teeth and my tongue before we sit down to dinner, and I can eat 4 or 5 bites and not taste it. Then I go to the bathroom and brush my teeth and tongue again. But you know what? It's a valid hint.
You know, it is a valid hint, and what makes a hint valid? Because I don't think I could give a valid hint if my life depended on it.
You could. I could ask you one right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, are you broadcasting from your station?
I am.
You're broadcasting. Do you have a producer or a board operator?
I do it myself.
You do it yourself. Good for you. Do you have your clock, your time clock?
I do.
Is it digital?
It is.
Okay. So for the listeners, when I did a national radio show for about 3 years and from my home. My husband built me a studio. I had all the equipment. The first couple times I had the engineers in here because there's always a hiccup in the get-along, as they say. And I would, truth, and I was on for 2 hours Saturday and Sunday. Well, I'm at home. I'm in my home studio, but I'm at home, so there's no visual. Well, I'm in my bathrobe. I'm barefoot. I've got my coffee. I know when the long break is at the bottom of the hour. You go out at, you know, 10:28:50, and you come back up at 34. Well, that gave me 5 minutes. Well, we had guests here, and then my bathrobe barefoot, my hair up in a bun, pins in there, I've got my coffee cup, and I'm into the kitchen, pouring me a cup of coffee. I said, hi, I'll be back in about half an hour. And the guy said, what the hell was that? And he said, oh, she has a national radio show. She can time it that I can stop at the bathroom, get a cup of coffee, and come back to the mic and be on air.
You do have to time that stuff right.
Yes, you do.
You do, because if you don't, there can be trouble.
And it's a good lesson in life, too. I did a organizing book when they were all the hints for Heloise getting organized. And I learned from my father, who was a command pilot, U.S. Air Force, who's now deceased. But I was making some science project or something, and I was like, Daddy, we have to go to the store. I need poster board. And then half an hour later, Daddy, I don't have my crayons, or something, you know. And finally, he helped me finish the project, and I won, like, third prize or something. And later, my nickname is Ponce, P-O-N-C-E, like De Leon, but I didn't find the Fountain of Youth. And in a command pilot voice, now, Ponce Pie, you know, when I'm flying the plane and I'm the pilot in charge, I'm responsible. You plan the trip and work backwards. Do we need this? Do we need that? I was like, oh, I get it. So I came up with what I called my visualization. You know, am I giving a speech? Okay, did body mic, cameras, you know, is it live audience? And so like you on radio particularly, that clock, that stopwatch is the number one, and well, of course, being on the air, most important item that you have. Wouldn't you agree?
I would say so, and I think what I always tell people when I've been asked to go to speak to journalism students,
yes,
I always say this, and I always think this is the best advice. If you listen to a radio show, mm-hmm, much, much different than television.
Correct.
If you listen to a radio show and it sounds like you could do that because it's so easy, then the person who's doing it is doing it really well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And particularly... And I learned that when I had a national radio show, you know, okay, this is all visual. You may be saying something, but they're seeing it in their mind. So if you say, well, if you're making pancakes and you pour the pan in the batter, or you want to be sure the pan is hot enough with the oil or the cooking oil or whatever you use, you take a drop of water and kind of flick it, as I said. Now, not too much oil, just a little bit. And that droplet of water will kind of bounce. It'll go beep, 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 beep. That tells you the pancake frying pan is the perfect temperature. And it's also for children. It's a physics lesson, chemistry lesson. So while all of us are, and you know, I live in Texas, and we're hit pretty hard also, that, and we're sequestering, we're staying at home. Some schools are opening, some aren't. And so when I did, here's a frightening part too. I have a teacher's certificate, and in Texas, it's a lifetime. I can go back and teach. But when I was doing my substitute teaching, before even starting the lesson plan or talking to the class, I would ask them, how does your teacher conduct this class? Some people are visual. I was a math major. You put a formula up on the board. They see the numbers. They see it in their mind. Some people are not. They're tactile. And so you bring out building blocks. Okay, we've got 5 building blocks. If I take away 2, how many are left? So try to impart information in a way that they are receptive to.
I think you're exactly right, and I think that's the goal with everything we're doing right now, is to give the right information, do it so people can really understand it, and if we do that, I think we'll be in good shape.
Yes, and when I started doing speaking, and I mean, I took a speech class 101 in college. You know, basically it was more of speaking and how to give a business presentation. I was a business mathematics major, double major. And I was like, okay, now I get it. So I came up with, for me too, in my brain, tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them, and then wrap up with, tell them what you told them. So you say, okay, today we're going to color for children. We're going to color. And if you get a little box of food coloring at the grocery store, it has the primary colors in it. With those four or five little bottles of food coloring, you can make a rainbow. And red and green makes purple. Blue and green, what does that make? I'm not sure. We've had yellow to blue. See, and so they're having fun, but they're learning, and they'll retain it. It will stay with them because it's a visual concept. How do you all right, Scott, you've been doing this a while. I think you're pretty seasoned and have a lot of knowledge and have had a lot of different guests on your show. How do you describe the color red to someone who is blind?
The color red to somebody who's, now they've been blind all their life.
Mm-hmm. They've never seen, they don't see colors.
I would say it's a very rich color. It's a very vibrant color. It jumps out at you when you see it, mm-hmm. unlike other colors. Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful color and mm-hmm. often associated with anger.
Okay, but also, if you think of red, it's hot.
Oh, hot, that's good too.
Molten lava, a fireplace. So if you can take 2 to 3 glasses, fill one with hot water, let the child touch that, not boiling hot, mind you, and they'll say, oh, yeah, it is, it's hot, it's warm. Okay, that's red. And then a glass of ice water, and they touch it, that's blue. You think of the blue ocean, the blue skies. So visually, tactile, touching it, and particularly with children, it may take them 2 or 3 times. When I was doing my student teaching at Canyon High School in New Braunfels, Texas, by the way, and we had one student who, he was a farm boy. It's a huge farming area, New Braunfels, and beautiful land, and there was a concept he just couldn't get, and I kept thinking, what is the deal? And I would do this, and I would explain this, and I thought, you know what? He's visual. He's absolutely visual. And it was a mathematical, a very simple math, 5 minus 3 equals 2. And I brought in building blocks. And I said, okay, here's 5 building blocks. He goes, yeah. Huh? Yeah, those are like what we use here or to build the barn or fix the fence or something. Okay, and if I take 2 away, well, there's 3 left. He went, oh, I got it.
You know, that's interesting, because I was just thinking, if you have a blind person and mm-hmm. you put down, that's good, because if you put down something hot, that's red, and if mm-hmm. you put down something cold, that's blue,
right.
And if you put down gravy, that's green.
Gravy is green?
Gravy is green.
Gravy that you put on meatloaf?
Well, some people do, but to me, gravy would signify green, because I cannot stand it. It makes me turn green.
You got me.
See, I was driving around there. But that's what it... I was having this conversation earlier on today. I can't do gravy. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think we need to put you on the couch and have a psychiatrist... Let's do a shrink session. Now, I'm going to be... Did your mother make gravy?
Yeah, I think she did.
Was it good or not good?
Well, people seemed to like it, but okay. I just didn't like it.
Is it the consistency?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll kind of condense this story because I think this is important. I know my mother made it. I never liked it. And then earlier on this year, somebody who is a friend of mine, who's from Kentucky, said, I'm going to make this gravy and you're going to like it because it's Kentucky gravy. And,
oh.
Yeah. And I said, oh, I don't think that's going to happen because I just don't like gravy. So they made it, and it became a big thing because I talked about it on the air every day that this was coming. And, you know, well, you got to so, – some mornings you're looking for warm bodies and warm stories. And so the gravy became a thing, and the day came, and as I was walking down the hallway, I could smell it. And it just – I immediately, you know, I turned green.
Yeah.
So I go in, and I did take a couple bites of it, but in her defense, in case she's listening, the truth is, the other people in the room liked it. So I think it was...
I think it was you.
It could have been me, but I just... There's something about gravy that is a huge turnoff to me. I don't know what it is.
You know, who knows? But if you figured it out, then when you are a guest somewhere... and they have gravy, and they say, would you like some? You simply say, thank you, but it doesn't tolerate me well.
Well, and I try to be polite, because, you know, I've been to a lot of campouts and things like that, and that's all they cook.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, gravy can cover up a lot of mistakes and a lot of bad food. But, and that's another lesson for children, particularly... during this time, people are on heightened alert. People are nervous about their families and their health and their jobs and their children. Is that one act of kindness, one time of doing something nice to that person, may be the only thing that has happened positively to them in a couple of days. So take the time to say thank you, or I appreciate that, or that's a great idea, I think I'll go do that at home. Everybody needs a pat on the back. And when people are nervous, as we all are, your senses get heightened. You know, your hearing is a little more acute. Your sense of smell may be. Your vision, where before you never paid attention to something. Or I'll tell you a true story. Oh, my gosh, it was in Ohio. Not Marion. My radio show. I was in Ohio. I was in Cleveland, Cincinnati. There were Cleveland, Cincinnati, and I can't remember the other one. And I did a small tour of all these radio stations. And you take a break. And you go into, you know, the kitchen or wherever it is, which, and the place was filthy. I mean, coffee cups, nothing in the sink. The coffee maker, you know, had the burnt stuff on the bottom of the carafe. And again, I look at my stopwatch and I'm thinking, all right, do I or don't I? Do I or don't I? And I thought, oh, I've got a couple minutes. So I cleaned everything up. Scrubbed out the pot, and here's the hint too: watch them in a coffee shop. When the coffee pot on an automatic coffee maker, you know, it's got that little cruddy stuff on the bottom. Put some ice cubes in it, shake it around, and that'll scrub most of that stuff off. And so I come back in and I said, "Who's in charge of, you know, tidying up or cleaning up the kitchen?" And the co-host. The engineer, and I could hear the station manager down the hallway. He was just laughing hysterically. There was no one in charge. They all thought somebody else did it.
And this happens so many times in life. But, you know, I would be good with that because I would tell people, you know, guests all week long. I would say, you know, Heloise came in here and cleaned up the kitchen.
Well, but you should say, well, we left it dirty, and so we would see what she would do, or how did she clean that coffee cup? That will segue in, too. If you've got really fine china, and folks, this is the time. use the things that you love. That beautiful coffee cup that was your grandmother's. Maybe a tablecloth or a knife or something or other. Use the things you love, because as it will bring you happiness. It will bring back good memories. Oh, I remember my Nana making me hot chocolate in the winter. I remember my grandpa carving up the turkey at Thanksgiving. You know, our sense of smell is highly, highly acute. And when I was born cross-eyed, severely cross-eyed, back in, what the hell, you can go on the net and find out how old I was. I am 1951. So cross-eyed, and I didn't know it until I saw some photos of me when I was 5 or 6, that my right eye, you could not see the iris. I was so crossed, and it crossed in towards my nose, I couldn't see. But my sense of smell and my sense of hearing escalated and took over. And I can remember I would hear the door in the hospital room open. I didn't know who it was. I didn't know whether it was a nurse, a doctor, you know. I didn't know, were they coming to give me a shot? Right? And then I would smell. And if the door was cracked open, I could smell cleaning supplies. So I knew they were cleaning the hallway. Or if they were bringing the tray to feed me, I could smell it. So your senses get heightened. So do the little test for yourself and see. You know, maybe your sense of smell is really acute. Maybe your hearing's a little off, but you hear certain tones. And capitalize on those to make your life and those around you better.
Well, it's a very helpful hint, and I think during this time that we're in right now, this pandemic, that people are looking for some kind of guidance, and they just want answers, and
yes.
There's so much out there. What
yes.
do we need to know about this pandemic?
Well, and I've been thinking about this for a couple of days, because I knew you would ask, you're so good, is first and foremost, listen to the authorities, the experts that you rely on, that you trust about information. Just because your neighbor's neighbor said, oh, you can just wash your hands with vinegar and it'll kill the bacteria, and you know how much I love vinegar, that may not be so. And frankly, I don't think it is. So I always say, stop, think, assess the situation, proceed, and put your Heloise hat on and ask yourself, what would Heloise do? And it will save you possibly some aggravation, possibly a mistake, and it may all work. And then if it's really good and you've done it, pass the information on.
That's very good. So what information have you learned during this pandemic?
That there's a lot of bad information out there. this is, as Dickens said, the best of times and worst of times. It is a horrific worldwide pandemic. Okay. We're not in this alone. Other countries. So it's not just us. And it's vital to do what, my husband talking to my dog who wants to go out, and he doesn't want her to go out. I'm in my studio, but his office is next door, and there's an outside door for the dog. But it's really vital, and you need to adapt. And a lot of people adapt very well, and others don't. So this is a time to think, well, maybe I can learn something new. Maybe I can adapt my normal procedures. The dishwasher. Now, is there a dishwasher, an automatic dishwasher at the station?
We don't have one here, but I certainly have one.
Okay, you have one at home. Okay. How do you load the dishwasher?
Quickly.
Okay. Do you rinse the plates real well first, or you just scrape off the big chunks?
Oh, just the big chunks.
Just the big chunks. Okay, that's good. If you're going to run the dishwasher within a reasonable amount of time. If you're going to let it sit overnight, all that stuff's going to be sticky on those plates and hard to get off. Do you go ahead and put the dish soap, dish detergent, in the containers, right?
Right.
All right, and then close the door and turn it for on. Many of them do have a delayed timing mechanism, the modern ones do, so that maybe you, during the morning there's too much going on in the nose with the noise and everything, but you can set it to start an hour later. And here's a hint, an old, my mother, the original Heloise, she had printed it, that I am dispelling the myth today. The hint was, if you have a piece of fish, a nice fillet, you know, maybe it's, or something or other, that you put it in a, wrap it tightly in aluminum foil, and you put it on the top rack of the dishwasher, load the dishwasher and let it run, and that the hot water will heat the fish.
Oh, I had not heard about that.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
No, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
No.
People, and also people will surprise you. I would venture to guess in the positive mode that people who are really sequestered, who haven't been to the office or they're working virtually or something, are coming up with new ways, either more efficient, quicker, safer, to do things at home.
I would think that's right. I think that people have adapted, and you know, the other day I heard somebody say that when they wash their hands now, when they're washing them, you know, with soap and water, mm-hmm. that they sing the
happy birthday.
Happy birthday. That's
yes.
it. I had not heard about that.
That God, we printed that a long time ago, and I think, and because if you sing it the normal speed, happy birthday, it's the 20 to 30 seconds. And a lot of washing your hands, it's not just the soap. It's the friction, the agitation of your hands rubbing together. Like if your hands are really icky, you know, you fell in mud or something, rather, you don't just hold it under the faucet and it goes away. You need some friction, a force like that. So be sure. And my mother had been a nurse during World War II. And she did two things. She said, teaching me, she said, people always forget between their fingers and under their nails. That can carry a lot of bacteria. So, but I said, well, Mother, but you're, and her nails are beautiful, and she would have them done. I said, but how do you do that? She said, oh, you run your nails over the bar of dry soap, and then the soap gets under your nails, and you wash your hands, and then you clean your nails at the same time. That's called a twofer. Two hints for the price of one.
That's a good hint, because I would think a lot of women who have particularly long nails
yes.
would have a problem.
Well, I mean, I have, and they're all mine. I broke one. And I use quick glue and a little baking soda to repair it. But it can be. And so it's always, you know, be cognizant of what you're doing, why you're doing it, and if you think it through, I told you my father was an Air Force pilot when he was teaching me to drive. Oh, yeah. And I, you know, told you, I was born cross-eyed, so, and I had, I think, four operations, but my vision does not fuse the way, if you look through a pair of binoculars, what do you see?
Things that are far away up close.
Right.
Yeah.
When I look through a pair of binoculars, I can only see with one eye because my vision doesn't fuse. If I'm looking with my left eye, the right one is just all black. So my lack of depth perception. But I learned, I thought, well, so I would use one binocular and hold it vertical. And people were like, what is she doing? And when I explained, oh, okay. So people, you know, you can adapt. And I always say, you know, stop. STP, stop, think it through, and then proceed. How many times, and I, my husband is a retired plumbing, heating, air conditioning contractor. He built our house, excuse me, and a hot air balloonist. And we were at one of the hardware stores years ago getting parts for something or other. And, of course, me, I'm always inquisitive and asking. And the guy, he goes, you're Heloise, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir. And I usually wear my hair up in a hat because it's, you know, silver. And I said, yes, sir. He said, gosh darn it. He said, would you tell your readers if they need a part, bring the darn thing in with them or take a picture of it? And I thought, he said, we get, they come in here, Galois, this little squiggly thing that goes under the sink or it's behind the toilet. So take the part if you can, or write down all the information that's on the part if you can't take it with you, or take a photo.
Well, see, and I can imagine that would be a big pet peeve of people who work in home repair, because,
yes.
I don't know what any of these things are called, and, it's the shape of. That's
right.
That's what it becomes.
Well, and my mother, who was really a phenomenal in the newspaper legend history, this supposed little housewife, who started this local little column in the Honolulu Advertiser. My father was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base. And it became, and was called, the original column was called The Reader's Exchange, because readers would exchange information. When I'm doing this, here's what I do. When I'm doing this, here's what I do. And it became huge. It's legend in newspaper syndication history. But she struck a chord. And the chord was, we're here to help each other. If I've had a problem and I fixed it, let me share the information with you. And maybe if you have a situation the same, you can take care of it. So I think, particularly today, is that it's important to share information, but be sure that it's valid, that it has worked for you, you've read it in my column, you've gotten the information from the CDC, you know, and that it's helpful. And try to bring a little laughter into your life. It's hard, but it can be done. And I told you about my husband. Anybody who's been married for a long time out there or has a significant other, the entire conversation, particularly in the evening, is about the thermostat for the air conditioner or heating, correct? One's hot, one's cold. One's cold, one's hot. And it's what I call the thermostat waltz. Is you'd walk by the thermostat, not really look at it, and just hit the little the lever to make it colder or warmer. And this reader said, dear Heloise, you know, I saw that hint. And he said, when the repair guy came out, I had him put up, I can't believe the man told me this, a dummy register on the wall.
Mm.
The real one is in the coat closet.
Now, that's real covert behavior.
Now,
right?
That is really cool. And I thought, that poor woman.
She thinks she's having hot flashes,
she
I bet.
Thinks she, exactly.
Yep.
And then the other one was, and the woman told me this at a speech, and it was so cute. And her husband was with her. And I was, afterwards, I stand around and sign autographs and, you know, sign their books and things like that, and they both come up, and he's like, he's elbowing her. He's going to tell her in that tone. And I'm like, oh, dear. And she goes, no, no, it's not. And he said, tell her. And I thought, oh, geez, I'm not a marriage counselor. And she said, well, on the nights that I really don't want to cook dinner, I have this piece of steak, excuse me, that's been in the freezer, and I take it out and I set it on the counter, and when my husband comes in from the garage and sees the steak with the little crystals all on the counter, he says, honey, you want to go out to dinner? And she said, if I ever have to cook it, we're all probably going to get food poisoning.
See, that reminds me of gravy. That puts me in the mind of gravy.
You need to get on a shrink couch. I think there's
no. the shrink would probably like gravy. They'd all be against me. I think it'd all be a conspiracy. The way it, I just even thinking about it turns my stomach.
You poor thing.
I know. Isn't that awful?
No. Everybody has something that bugs them. It may be small. It may be something large. There's always something like that. And if you figure out why or how, then you can either try to overcome it or be aware of the trigger that, like you, if you go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving dinner, you're probably going, I'm not having turkey, I'm not having gravy. If I don't have turkey, I don't have to have gravy.
It's a stressor, I think, is what it is.
Well, it is. And you know, in times of high stress, particularly now, you know, we're all on heightened security and we're concerned and we're stressed, you know, our families, our children, our neighbors, our pets. You know, pets sense. They can't talk. Well, some can talk. One of my dogs used to go, awa, awa, awa. That would mean I'd be standing, we have cookie jars and a doggy treat jar. On, I have two stoves in my kitchen, so I have 8 cooktops. And they're on the one that we don't use much. That miniature schnauzer, Savillon, Savvy for short, if I'd walk into the kitchen and have a cup of coffee or something or other, she would go over and stand up and put her paws on the door handle to that oven and look at me, basically telling me I wanted Chewy. And she got one. But here's the trick. I learned to break them in half and just give her a little nibble, and that satisfied her.
Well, and you have to know those things. Halloween, we have about 2 minutes left. What's important to know back to school-wise?
Well, back to school-wise, you know, it is a different time. You know, first, check with your school. What do they allow and what do they not allow? Are they serving lunch? Are they not serving lunch? Hand sanitizers, can you bring your own? And for children, I would especially, as far as a face mask, is I would go to the Big Top store or the Walgreens or something or other and buy a box and stuff some extra ones in your children's supplies, because children are children, and assure them, you know, when they come home, you're going to be there, because it's scary for them too.
What advice would you give to a teacher?
God bless them. You know, I taught, and particularly elementary school, it's kids are so sensitive and they're nervous and that kind of thing. So for the teachers, and again, tell them, tell them what you're going to tell them. Okay, today we're going to learn about washing hands. Then tell them, when you wash your hands, it needs to be under cold or warm running water. It doesn't have to be hot water. You have to use soap or a sanitizer. Okay, you've told them. Rinse, and then tell them, okay, dry your hands with paper towels and discard the paper towels. They can visualize that. It doesn't scare them, and they'll be okay.
And I think the underlying message in everything at this particular point, because people are a little nervous, is this too shall pass, and it will be okay as long as we take the proper precautions.
It's the best thing to do the best with you can that you can with what you have, whether it's items, things in your home, or the knowledge you have, and say a little prayer.
You know, absolutely, and I will just say that when it, of all the horrible things I've said about gravy in this interview, the positive thing I want to say is that the good news was is that when that gravy was made for me earlier this year, and she gave some to me to take home.
Oh, she did.
She did, and there was a hole in the wall that I needed to fix. So I was able to spackle it with that gravy.
I hope she is not listening to your show.
Oh, I hope not. But then, here's the other great thing. I was able to use it as a doorstop for certain events that I was having, and I just had to put down like a teaspoon of it, and the whole the door would stay open for days.
I really hope she's not listening, and I don't think you will be invited to her home again.
No more gravy for me?
No, you know what, Scott? I think if I invited you to dinner, or I came to visit you, if I invited you to dinner, I would probably have 10 gravies, and you would have to taste every one.
Oh, Heloise. I hope you have a lot of napkins, because there'd be a lot of hidden places that gravy would end up around the house. That's how it would go.
Spackling, I'm not. However, you know what? I actually, in my bathroom, my husband and I have separate bathrooms, and this was in my beauty book. I have printed it. So, and a lot of women do it. Is when I put my mascara on, you do the top part, the under, and you kind of curl it up, and then you do the front part. Sometimes the eyelashes stick together. Well, I saw my mother do this. She took a straight pin, as I do now, and you carefully separate the lashes. Well, I would just stick that in the wall because I knew I was going to need it again. After a while, I looked at the wall, and I'm like, that really doesn't look good. You can see the mascara and everything, and I'm thinking, now, what would Heloise do? And I went, wait a minute, toothpaste, white toothpaste. I filled the little hole, patted it around when it dried. It was pretty close.
Oh, that's a great, and you know, Heloise, this is why we have missed you. It's been a 13 months since you've been on. We cannot do that again. It's always fun to talk to you. It's like talking with an old friend, and hopefully we get out some good information, which I think we do, and we have a lot of fun. The time always blows right by.
It does. And if you would like, I would be happy to be on, I don't know, what, once a month or something or other, and it is called Appointment Radio.
Oh.
And we can chat like this, share information, and I'll do my best to bring you up to date with the information that I'm researching.
Absolutely. We are going to work that out. Heloise, we're going to get back on track here. It's always a pleasure. Stay well, and we'll talk soon.
Everybody, make it a Heloise day.
The legendary Heloise. How about that? Remember, tomorrow, Cousin Brucey, Amazing Kreskin. And coming up next, Glenn Coble with James Anderson. Stay tuned.
Page, CRTMechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day, look at them in a biblical perspective. So